Welcome, everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem Feedback and Insights, Shir number 138. Another healing aspect of real intimacy that we were describing is that it helps overcome the feeling of loneliness in our lives. And if we are unwilling to overcome this fear of rejection and open up to those who truly love us, there'll be more of a sense of loneliness in our lives. Loneliness comes in many forms. People are lonely often because they simply have no contacts with other human beings. Others feel lonely even in a crowded room. Others feel lonely because they're single. Others are married and lonely. Others are lonely because they yearn for their lost self. They don't feel they live their life according to their calling inside. What's fascinating is that, yes, we always have HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but nevertheless, like in the Gemara Tainis with the story of Chayni Amagel and others, Oy Harusa, Oy Misusa, Hashem placed it in us to need that interaction with other human beings. It is a need and it's necessary. There are times, let's say in the Rambam brings it down, where the whole Sviva is Rishoyim, then you go to the caves and you isolate yourself. Then those situations, it's warranted. And even, you know, many tzaddikim sort of isolated themselves to a certain degree. But overall, Hashem wants a connection, Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. And that is why it's so important to have an experience, healthy intimacy and sharing. And this is the paradox that we struggle with. We want to be known. We want to be loved for who we are. But we often refuse to reveal ourselves to who we are because we're afraid of rejection. And that creates a great amount of loneliness in our lives. So we yearn for intimacy. And we run away from intimacy. We say we want to be free from emotional ties. But then when you try doing that, you end up being a slave to another type of tie, usually. So what happens very often, unfortunately, is that when one needs to share and be intimate and they block themselves out for whatever reason, it creates a void. And that void sometimes leads to unhealthy addictions. Even if we're not talking about the severe type of addictions of alcohol or drugs, or sexual addiction, it could come in the form of overshopping, overeating, and so on and so forth. Others in the secular culture end up with a lot of these short-term relationships, again, in the culture that equates intimacy with sex. So they try to fill that void with sexual experience, and the result is emptiness. This is pretty much, which again, for many people who have a high libido and they think that having adequate and satisfying sex will make them happy, it is an important component of a healthy marriage, like we said all along. But it will create that void and an emptiness. And all addictions, the pneumius of it, is the trying to fill out that void in an unhealthy way instead of dealing with what you need to fill that void with, which is healthy spirituality, healthy expression, healthy connections. Addictions disconnect us from reality, but we gravitate to them. Now, we may think, oh, it's a chemical thing, alcohol, drugs, or the sexual pull and whatever it is, but really it is all to fill that void. And when we are truly intimate in a healthy way, it pulls us out of being self-absorbed. We experience the other. We experience the world of our wife, of our husband, and open up to others. And when we're not having that, and we have that void, and we run towards various escapes of addictions, and even if someone's not mamish addicted, but they're simply running away from themselves, it creates a tremendous amount of loneliness and restlessness, while genuine intimacy frees us from that loneliness. Now, we always have to have a realistic understanding that every human being, because they are unique, and no matter how close you are with any person, you'll sometimes experience a certain sense of loneliness and not being understood. But there is no question Hashem created, and Hashem wants, that's why He wants Shalom Bein Adam L'Chaveroi. He wants good chaburas to be mechazik each other, to talk to each other, to help each other in the general community of Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, in kehillas getting along with each other, within a kehilla getting along with each other, in communities, in shuls, in neighborhoods. All of this, Hashem wants that Shalom. And it's for our benefit, not just Ba'olam Haba, to be mekayim all the mitzvahs of Bein Adam L'Chaveroi, but in Olam Hazeh. That's a healthy intimacy. The word intimacy usually means something extremely personal, but you can have different levels of friends and connections that is also somewhat intimate, because Hashem really wants that in Klal Yisrael. When He says, I want you, Klal Yisrael, to be as one, that your souls connect, that's an intimacy in a certain level. And of course, with a husband and a wife, it's unique and special. So the idea is, intimacy is not just physical. That's the title of the last few shiurim. Sex is not intimacy, but it's emotional as well. But it's not just emotional. It's multidimensional. We're going to mention four aspects of it. Again, everyone categorizes it somewhat differently. But the physical intimacy, which we know is easy to understand, it could be a handshake, a smile, a kiss on the cheek. And the problem is that physical intimacy could be used as manipulation as well. Matthew Kelly brings down, which is just obvious fact, politicians spend their lives shaking hands, kissing babies. They know that the physical intimacy creates a feeling of closeness. People who know how to connect with people, what they do is they use both their hands. They shake your hand with one hand, and the other hand, they gently touch your arm or your shoulder. It creates a sensation of closeness and even oneness. It's sort of subconscious very often, and you connect with that person that way. And that is very true. That's why there's an iser negia between a man and a woman that are not married to each other. Because of that reason, because the simple touches create a feeling of closeness, whether you want to acknowledge it to yourself or not. And certainly, if there's actual sexual intercourse, it could create an extreme oneness. That is why, in the Torah view, the way Hashem made it, people make this mistake that they could enjoy the sexual experience with two consenting adults, whoever they are, as much as they want, whenever they want. And they think that that'll give them happiness and satisfaction, but it creates a tremendous amount of pain. Sometimes they don't acknowledge it right away, but over time they experience this. There's a certain disorientation. If they have a sexual partner, then they separate from them. There's a certain pain and disorientation because it's an extremely powerful act. Whether you want to acknowledge it or not, you think it's a one-night thing or whatever it is, but there is a certain thing that takes place that when that is separation happens, it creates a distortion and it creates a certain disorientation. And most people are not aware of it when it's happening. But as you go along in life, if you lead such a life, you're torn into thousands of pieces, basically. And therefore, and we need to stress again, that sex is not intimacy, but nevertheless, there is a power in it that could create a oneness. So it needs to be used, sexuality, as a healthy tool to become the best version of ourselves. to experience pleasure. That's what Hashem wants too. But he wants you to have that together with all the other aspects with connecting with one's wife and with one's husband. And that is very, very important. You see, even in Avodas Hashem, Hashem wants it to be bound to the physical. We talk to Hashem, we think about Hashem in a soul way, but we daven Shemoneh Esrei a certain way. Berachas Kehanim is done a certain way. Hishtach Havoya, bowing down, it happens a certain way. We're using, and even eating matzah, whatever it is, we use our physical bodies as vehicles to experience Hashem. And we're using our physical bodies in case of a healthy marriage to promote all types of intimacies and to become one with one's husband and one's wife. So there's physical intimacy, that's number one. Then there's emotional intimacy, which is harder to achieve than physical intimacy. Why? As we explained in the last year, you need humility, vulnerability, and people aren't comfortable with that. It's a slower process. People want to feel safe first. They want to feel genuine with one another. They want to feel that their husband or wife can be trusted. You know, if they were betrayed or hurt in their childhood or teenage years, it'll be harder to trust. And if the spouses between themselves made mistakes in the past, it'll also be harder to trust, but they need to get past that, forgive each other and move on and renew that commitment to reveal to each other in an honest way, in a healthy core of intimacy, the way it's meant to be. Intimacy starts off with self-observation of yourself, being intimate with yourself. Know yourself, how people affect you, situations affect you, how your body language, your connection overall to people and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then you could connect with another human being and primarily with your own husband, with your own wife. So you have emotional intimacy. Then you have intellectual intimacy. Intellectual is a very powerful one by having conversations, by sharing your experiences and your thoughts with one another. And very often people began to become close friends by connecting with each other in intellectual ways. And then it becomes a deeper connection. And intellectual intimacy is an idea. By the way, it helps in marriage greatly, but just to give a general example, it's in intimacy because it's non-judgmental. Non-judgmental means I have ideas, you have ideas, and we share it with one another. We're not defensive. We're exploring. We disagree sometimes or see it differently, but we go through the whole discussion in a beautiful way that brings out the best points. You know, one of the complaints about the leftist culture these days is they don't even want to debate or discuss the opposite point of view whatsoever. And generally, the more balanced you are, or the more, even unless you're in the extreme right, you would also want and enjoy debating and discussing someone that has an opposite view. In the olden days, it was like that, where they were able to hash out ideas without getting defensive and connecting with one another. And a husband and wife, if they learn how to do this, they could see in certain hashkafas a different way, in certain ways. But if they could have a discussion about it and they're not defensive about it and they respect each other's world, it creates a real powerful intimacy. The intellectual is not just like a cerebral thing. It ultimately creates a tremendous bond, even if you see things differently. But if you understand where each one of you is coming from and see their perspective, it creates a tremendous bond. And then there is spiritual intimacy, which is a real deep respect for one another from their neshama, coming deep from their neshama. It does not mean you agree on everything, but you agree on the etzem purpose. You both acknowledge you have special souls that want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that are connected to godliness, and we want to be the best versions of ourselves. Part of spiritual intimacy is also working on one's midos. Because the idea is if, let's say, a husband and wife both work on patience, two patient people will have a better relationship than two impatient people, or one being patient and one not being patient. If you both work on being generous and giving, husband and wife, and they both work on it, two generous people will have a better relationship than two selfish people. And if one is generous and one is selfish, also not ideal. If both husband and wife learn how to forgive and they don't hold grudges, two forgiving people will have a better relationship than two people who choose to hold grudges and refuse to forgive. Or if one is forgiving and one isn't, also a problem. If a husband and wife works on being considerate and menschlich to everybody around them, a considerate couple will have a better relationship than an inconsiderate couple. If they both are very fierce and strong in their loyalty to one another and they're faithful to one another, they will have a better relationship than two unfaithful people, or one faithful, one not. And again, unfaithful, I don't mean in the extreme physical fear type of sense, but any type of break in the loyalty. And the more faithful you are to your God and to your husband, to your wife, the better relationship you will have. If you learn how self-discipline, if each husband and wife learns how to discipline themselves, they will have a better relationship than two undisciplined people. So you see, the idea is that spiritual intimacy is very much connected with midos tovos that each one needs to work on themselves on, whether it's patience, whether it's kindness, whether it's humility, whether it's being gentle, whether it's forgiving, whether it's loving the right way. And if you build your lives, husband and wife individually, if it's based on whims or on cravings, on illegitimate wants or selfish desires, it will create a discontented life in your relationship, but an overall life. So we need to make those choices, those healthy choices, of using all these types of intimacies, including spiritual intimacy, in the most best way, because the spiritual intimacy, the midos, that will open up in healthy ways the other three: the physical, the emotional, and the intellectual. Bracha and Hatzlacha.